Allah has knowledge of everything. I mentioned yesterday, and from there we'll begin our speech, that Allah is the nucleus of all creation. Everything that you see that exists, Allah is the nucleus of that. And He is known, His ma'rifat is gained through the Anbiya and Mursaleen, through the prophets and the messengers. They are the ones who told us regarding Allah. Because they came from Him and they said that it is Allah who sent us. And from there we got to know that there is Allah and that He has sent these messengers. So the messengers became the circle around the nucleus of Tawheed. Meaning Allah is the dot in between, and the prophets and the messengers are the circle around Tawheed. So now in order to reach the dot that is in the circle, one has to go through the circle in order to reach the dot. Can you reach a nucleus of anything without going through its circumference, without going through its radius, without going through its circle and loop that's around it? If I give you a ball and say, this is the ball, I want you to reach the middle of the ball without going through its circumference. Can you do that? Just like that, Allah said, Tawheed is that dot out of which Nabuwat came, out of which prophethood came. In order to go towards that dot of Tawheed, in order to reach Tawheed, one has to cross the boundaries of Risalas, of prophethood, of messengership. If you do not go, in other words, if you do not go through Rasulullah, you will never reach Allah. If you don't go through Rasulullah, you will never reach Allah. And hence, now when the Prophet, he came from Allah, now he has to have the qualities that Allah has. One of those qualities that Allah has is that he has knowledge over everything. His knowledge over everything. If that's the case, then now he has to give that knowledge, because the Prophet is there to make us recognize Allah. He has to give that knowledge to the Prophet, and that's what he says in the Quran, أَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ. My messenger, my beloved Prophet, he has taught you, meaning Allah has taught you whatever you did not know. Whatever you did not know, Allah has taught you that. Meaning that any place where there was ignorance in your mind and in your heart, Allah has filled that with knowledge. There is no place in your existence that could be called ignorance. Everything about you is ilm and knowledge. Everything about you is ilm and knowledge. And what is ilm? Ilm, in the words of hadith, is al-ilmu nurun yaqdifuhu Allahu fi qalbi man yasha. Ilm is a nur, it's a light that Allah gives in the hearts of those whom He pleases. Now friends, ilm is nur. Ilm is not knowing a lot of history. Ilm doesn't mean that we know a lot of history. Meaning, who's an alim? Who's an alim? When you say that he's an alim, for example, what does that mean? Oh, he knows all the hadith in Bukhari? That won't make you an alim. In fact, that will confuse you more than anything else. Let's say even the real hadith, for example, you go and learn all the hadith. Yes, he knows all the hadith in Kafi, Al-Kafi. Does that make him an alim? See, what is an alim? See how Allah describes who ulama are and what we think of ulama. For example, obviously in our view, anyone who's wearing a piece of cloth on his head and an abba on his back, it's normally taken, okay, he's an alim. My friends, where in the hadith or ayat, where in the history of Ahlul Bayt did they mention that, listen, we will tell you how to recognize an alim. If he's wearing an amama and an abba, it means he's an alim. Tell me one hadith that says that. Tell me one riwayah that says that. Da'if riwayah. Get me a da'if, weak riwayah and say that, listen, this is the sign of ulama. This is the sign of ulama. My friends, amama is not the sign of an alim. Abba is not the sign of an alim. Amama is very easy to get. You don't need to go to Qom and Najaf to get it. You can go to Walmart. And there are many people here who went to Walmart and they got their amama. They don't even need to go and spend some years at home in the house. Forget about all of that. They just need to go to Walmart and wear. Who will know the difference? Everyone, what is an alim? What is ilm? You see, an alim is not someone who just knows things. Allah, the hadith is saying, al-ilmu nurun yaqdifuhu Allahu fi qalbi yasha. Meaning, ilm is that when you have knowledge, it will make you grow closer to Allah, make you obtain the qurb and the nearness to Allah. If a person learns something and that knowledge is taking him closer to Allah, then that person has become an alim of that knowledge. This is an alim. Allah described in alim, إِنَّمَا يَكْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَا. Those who fear Allah, they are ulama. Meaning that the knowledge has brought that fear in their heart, that awareness in their heart. This is an alim. So ilm is nur in Islam. It's a light. It is a light. And we see that when Allah sent the Prophet, when Allah sent the Prophet to us, He says, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. That Allah has sent you, what came from you? Allah has sent you what? He has sent you a light and a book. So the book is Quran, and Allah is saying the light that came with the Quran is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now, my friends, when we look at Rasulullah, we see he is alim. We see that he is nur. And he has to be. Why? Because he is the radius around Tawheed. He is making us help recognize Tawheed. Now we come to Rasulullah. And Now we see that in order to recognize Rasulullah, what other circle is there? If Rasulullah is the nucleus of deen, the deen we got from Rasulullah, Quran is from him, hadith is from him, fiqh is from him, deen is from him, aqaid is from him, akhlaq is from him, everything in religion, everything in Islam is from Rasulullah, meaning that he is the nucleus of Islam. So if he is the nucleus of Islam, then what is the circumference and the circle that is around him that is helping us to recognize him? Very simple question, because we have a very practical problem. Very practical problem. My friends, how many years did Rasulullah pray? You know, when the wujub of Salat came down, it was in Mi'raj. So obviously in the last year, you know, last 2-3 years when he was in Makkah, from that time he started praying until he died, let's say openly amongst the people, praying. So all in all, he prayed for about, you can say, 11 or 12 years in front of the people. In fact, when they went to Medina, he used to pray in jamaas. 5 times a day he would pray in jamaas. 5 times a day, all the mu'mineen, all the Muslims would be watching him praying. Now, if you can tell me that yes, we got our deen from Rasulullah without anyone in between, then alhamdulillah, let me just ask you one question. All these years, these Muslims are praying behind Rasulullah. They saw him praying. Everyone saw him praying. My friends, why is it that after seeing him pray all these years, yet the Muslims aren't able to decide where to put their hands in prayers? Is it a practical problem or not? If we have learned deen from Rasulullah directly without any medium, then the one thing that we all saw Rasulullah doing, not us Muslims I'm talking about, Sahaba, companions, all of them saw Rasulullah praying. Why is it that still Muslims are undecided where to put their hands and they don't know how Rasulullah prayed? Question. If we want to go to Rasulullah, then we all have differences of opinion then. Some have their hands on their chest, some on their belly, some on their side. Everyone is doing differently. Why are you doing it differently? Isn't this something simple that could have been solved? It shouldn't be an issue at all. But why is such a simple thing an issue? My friends, in other words, there has to be a circle, there has to be a people, there has to be someone who will tell us how Rasulullah prayed. We have to have someone who is able to tell us what Rasulullah thought. So if Allah is the complete knowledge and the whole knowledge, and if Rasulullah is the city of knowledge and Madinatul Ilm, then at least from this hadith we know, that if there is anyone that will be the door of that city of knowledge, it is going to be Ali ibn Abi Talib, where Rasulullah said, "Ana Madinatul Ilm wa Ali ibn Babu." Yes. I am the city of knowledge. Ali is the door of knowledge. You want to come into the city, come through the door. You know? You don't climb the walls to come in. You don't come through windows. Or any of these things. Obviously, you know, there is a hadith, a riwayat. Not in our books, in the Sharif books. Right? We have hadith in the other books of Muslims, hadith books, that says that, yes, Ali is the door of knowledge, and Abu Bakr is the saqfuha, and Umar is jidaruha, and that Abu Bakr is the ceiling, and Umar is the wall, the walls of the city of knowledge. That hadith is there. Now, obviously, you know, I don't want to go into this being right or wrong or something like that. But one thing I will just mention. You see, many wrong hadiths have been put in and out of these books. That makes people disheartened. Many people disheartened. You see, many hadiths are so incorrect. The hadith of Mi'raj. When you look at the hadith of Mi'raj, which is transmitted to us by Ummul Mu'mineen, Aisha. She transmitted that hadith and she said that when Rasulullah went to Mi'raj, he was sleeping next to me. He was sleeping next to me. She herself said that. He was sleeping next to me when he went. In other words, he was there all night. It was a dream that happened. In his dream, he went to Mi'raj and Jannat and he came back. This is what Aisha said. Now obviously I'm not going to say whether it was right or wrong that she said this and this and that. I'm saying that she did say this. But my only question is this, my friends. In regards to this hadith of Ummul Mu'mineen, just one issue I have with this. And that issue is that Mi'raj happened after Hijrat of the Prophet. Meaning it happened before the Hijrat of the Prophet. Before Prophet went to Medina, it happened. Mi'raj, everyone accepts, happened in Makkah. And Aisha was married to the Prophet after he made Hijrat. So what was he doing in your bed before marriage? To understand this, even if you want to make up hadiths, make sure that historically they are correct. Right? But when you look at such hadiths, then you understand that, wait a minute, it has nothing to do with history. It's completely incorrect. And all of those, these are the reasons why you see that when I looked at this hadith of Abu Huraira, who said that Ali is the door of knowledge. Ali is the door of knowledge. Abu Bakr is the scenic, Saqfuha, and Umar is Jidaruha. To me, I was wondering, why is Umar called the wall? Why is he called Jidar? What was that for? Then I saw another hadith of the Prophet and he said that, listen, whenever you want to see a hadith compared to the Quran, if it doesn't go with the Quran, meaning if it's the false hadith, throw it on the wall. So from there I understood why he's called the wall, because any false hadith we can throw it at the wall and say, this is yours, not ours. So my friend, Ali is the door of knowledge. This is the main thing. Ali is the door of knowledge. You want knowledge, you want to go to Allah's knowledge, Allah's knowledge is with Rasulullah. You want to reach Rasulullah, then Ali is the door that reaches Rasulullah. If you understood this that I'm saying, now let me change the subject here. Alright, in the middle of the speech, I'm changing the subject here to make you understand the same point but in a different way. So that you can understand this better. My friends, Allah is Khaliq. Allah is Malik. He is the creator. He is the owner. He owns everything. He has created everything. He is the Rabb. He has nurtured us. He has nurtured the creation. Is that true or not? Do you believe in that? Alhamdulillah. My friend, you believe in that. Now tell me. When you stand up and say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. There's no God but Allah, I testify. I give my shahadat. I testify to that. What are you testifying to? What are you giving shahadat to? That Allah is Khaliq. Allah is the creator. Oh really? Allah is the creator. Do you believe in that? Be careful when you answer this. Do you believe in that? Inshallah. He was like, yes before I believe in inshallah. So. Saying with a confident yes, alhamdulillah, Allah is the Khaliq. Allah is the Khaliq. You don't have to be scared of that. No one else is Khaliq. Allah is the only Khaliq. Don't worry. Right?
Allah is the Khaliq, right? So He is the Khaliq. Tell me, Allah is the Creator. He has created everything. Tell me, did you see Allah create anything?
No. I didn't see Allah create anything. You didn't see Allah create anything.
Ya Allah, You are Razak. Did you see Allah give rizq and distribute rizq and provisions for humanity? Did you see that?
No.
Allah is Malik. Did you see His ownership certificate that He owns everything? Did you see it?
No.
Allah is Alim. Did you see His knowledge and judge His knowledge? Do you see it or? Oh, yes, that He has. He knows this much. You haven't seen it. Allah is Hay. He is ever living. Did you see Him live? I can go on now with everything, every attribute of Allah. But if you haven't seen one attribute of Allah, you haven't seen Him create, you haven't seen Him own, you haven't seen Him give rizq. So my friends, when you are saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, are you saying the truth or are you lying? How can you testify when you haven't seen it? When I say Ashhadu, is this right for me to say Allah?
I didn't see you, you know, create. How can I say Ashhadu?
I haven't seen it, I haven't witnessed it. You haven't witnessed it, so in what? How come you are saying Ashhadu every day? How come you are saying that? Who gave shahadat to the khalikiyat of Allah? Who gave shahadat to the malikiyat of Allah? Who gave shahadat to the uluhiyat of Allah? Who gave shahadat and says, yes, I saw Allah create the universe? Who gave that shahadat? You see, we didn't give that shahadat. If we give shahadat, we are lying then. We didn't see it. So my friends, now you understand. The shahadat we give to accept Allah itself is wrong. We are wrong for saying that. We haven't seen Him do anything. We haven't seen Him create. So now tell me, how can you say that? And be honest, be truthful with it. How can you say that? My friends, that's why you see, for example, I'll give the example. If the moon is sighted by someone, right? If I sight the moon for the first of Ramadan, I say I saw the moon. Do I need someone else to tell me that I saw the moon? Or the moon exists? Or this is the month of Ramadan? If I saw the moon myself, I don't need shahada from anyone. I myself have the shahada, I saw it. Right? So I can accept that month or not. I saw it. Now if I didn't see it, then I need a witness. Now I didn't see it, but Alhamdulillah, brother Abbas went and saw it. Alhamdulillah. He went and saw the moon. He said, I saw the moon. Alhamdulillah, you saw the moon? Are you sure? Yes, I saw the moon. It was clear. Subhanallah. So I said, great. I take his shahadat and I believe this is the month. I said, this is the month of Ramadan. Now tell me. There are two ways to attest to it. Either I see it myself or I get a witness from someone. And either way, if I see it myself, I can say this is the month of Ramadan. If I get shahada and witness from someone, I can say this is the month of Ramadan. In both cases, I'm right, my friends. So now, we did not see Allah create. We didn't see Allah exist. We didn't see any of these things. So now, if we didn't see it, then we need someone who saw Allah creating the universe. We need someone who saw Allah giving rest. That's why when we look at the universe and say, is there anyone who saw Allah? Then Allah Himself says that, listen, Ya ayyuhal Nabi, inna arsalnaka shahida also say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Understand this, your shahadat is depending on Rasulullah's shahadat. Because Rasulullah gave shahadat, you can say Ashhadu, otherwise you're lying. If you don't believe in Rasulullah, you cannot say shahadat to Allah. You cannot say, "Why you didn't see him." Rasulullah is saying, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah." I am giving witness that there is no God but Allah. I am giving that witness. And because he is giving that witness, that's why we are also giving that witness. Now you understand where the shahadat hand came from. I'll tell you. Rasulullah is the one who said Ashhadu, and then we just did what he said, Ashhadu. This is the first part, La ilaha illallah. We believe it because of Rasulullah. Now, what is the next part of our shahadatain? Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now my friends, you are saying what? I testify that the Prophet is the messenger of Allah. He is Rasulullah. He is what? Rasulullah. He is the messenger of Allah. Now I ask the same question again. Did you see Allah appointing him as the messenger? Did you see that Allah sent him as a messenger? Did you see that, yes, he came as a messenger from Allah, Allah appointed him? Did you see Allah appointing him? No. Then how is it that you're saying, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah? Tell me. My friends, there needs to be a witness. I didn't see Allah appointing Rasulullah. I didn't see him saying that he's the messenger. That there has to be someone who did see him. There has to be someone who is giving witness that yes, I saw him being appointed by Allah. I saw him being appointed by Allah. Who is that? That's why when Allah sent Rasulullah, he didn't send him alone. He sent him with Ali, so that Ali is the one who say, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. So my friends, understand this. The shahadat of La ilaha illallah is from Rasulullah. The shahadat of Muhammad and Rasulullah is from Ali. All you are doing to become a Muslim is testifying what Rasulullah and Ali have testified. If you can testify what Rasulullah and what Ali have testified, really, the shahadat of Rasulullah was not given by Rasulullah. How can he say, hey, listen, I'm the messenger of Allah, I testify. Baba, you are claiming and you are testifying a witness. How can you be a claimant and a witness at the same time? If you are a claimant, bring another witness. Isn't that how Islam works? If I claim something and they say, where's your witness? Oh, I'm the witness. Baba, you are the one who's claiming it. You are the mudda'i. How can the mudda'i be the shahid? You have to claim it. You claim to be Rasulullah. Bring a witness. That's why Ali was necessary to establish the Risalat of Rasulullah.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
But my friend, this is when we look at Imam Ali. Imam Ali is the road that leads to prophethood. The road that leads to Tawheed is Imams. And Imam Ali. A few words about Imam Ali, and inshallah we will go towards the Messiah, the Muslim one. What can I say about Imam Ali? And friends, Imam Ali's whole life, from his birth until his death, until he left, is a mu'jiza, is a miracle. It's a complete miracle. Being born in the Kaaba and dying in the Masjid of Allah. In the whole life in between, you see that every page of his history is a lesson for all of mankind. Everything.
My advice to you is to go and read a book about Imam Ali. Any book, just pick it up, read something, and you will see that even if you read something, even if you hear something that is repeated to you, you have heard 100 times before, but the effect of Ali is such that whenever you hear about him, no matter how much repeated it is, it still has a new effect on you and will change the way you think and the way you live and exist. This is Ali. This is Ali. The reason why it is said that Ali ma'al Quran, but Quran ma'al Ali. Ali is with the Quran, Quran is with Ali. I mean, this was not a share. It's not a poetry that Rasulullah is trying to make up. This is a reality. In other words, why? If you look at the qualities of the Quran, you will see the same qualities in Ali. What's the quality of the Quran? The motives of the Quran is that every time you go to the Quran, you get a new meaning out of it. Every time you approach the Quran, it changes you. Just like that, when you know and learn about Ali, every time you approach Ali, you learn a different thing and your whole life is changing again. This is the effect of Ali. This is the effect of Ali. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Dhikru aliyyan ibadah. Messenger had said that the dhikr, the remembrance of Ali is ibadah, is worship. When you remember Ali, ibadah is only for Allah. But when you remember Ali, it's as if you worship Allah. Why? Because He will remind you of Allah. He reminds you of Allah. If this is Ali. Ali's remembrance is ibadah. When you talk of Imam Ali, this is ibadah. When you remember him, let me share with you another hadith from Rasulullah that has the same meaning but is more explained. So you can get an understanding out of this. This is what the messenger said about Imam Ali. He said that anyone who writes the name of Ali or the praise of Ali on a piece of paper, if you write the name of Ali on a piece of paper, if you write some madh or some praise for Ali, some poetry for Ali on a piece of paper, as long as people read that, you will be getting the reward for it. It is sadaqah jariyah for you. It is a reward that is ongoing and constant for you. More than that, he said, no, not just that. He said, as long as the ink stays on that paper, as long as that ink remains on that paper, you will be getting reward from Allah. Many artists, Muslim artists, you see that they do one or two things regarding Ali. They will do something regarding Ali. They will say something. Why? Because they want that art of Ali to last, because that is the means of their thawab and reward in the afterlife. This is Ali. Go and write his name down somewhere in your diary, in some book, and say that, Allah, I have written this down, now start accumulating my rewards. This is Ali, my friends. You want to know who Imam Ali is? I'll explain this to you. You know, it is said that the Noor that came down with the Quran, right? Imam Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam had said, that a Nooro wallahi a'immato min ali Muhammad. That Noor by Allah are the Imams of Ali Muhammad. Al-Noor wallahi Amir al-Mu'mineen. This Noor that Allah is speaking about in the Quran is Amir al-Mu'mineen. Alayhi salatu wa
sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
In another hadith it is said that the one who loves Ali, the one who has the love of Ali in his heart, if you love Ali, then the light of that iman The light that emanates from that heart, the nur that emanates from the heart that has the love for Ali, is brighter than the sun that illuminates the galaxy. That's how bright it is, my friends. We don't see it. We don't see it. There's too many veils of ignorance in front of us to see that light. But the angels who see reality, they can see that light. That's why they know there is a moment. Why? Because he's shining so much that only the love of Ali can make him shine that much. They can recognize you. They recognize you. This is what you are. My friends, loving Imam Ali, how much of Ali's love have you tasted? How much love of Imam Ali have you tasted? Very little, my friends. We have tasted very little of his love. Really, we have tasted very little of his love. Because, you see, if I ask you the question, why do you love Ali so much? Why do you love Ali so much? Most people will answer and say that he is Sahibul Fadilat. Misahibul Fadilah, he is great, he is honorable, he is courageous, he is honest, he is all these great things. Alhamdulillah. So, you are impressed by his greatness. Tell me, are you the only, is that the love that is meant to gain from Ali by just looking at his merits? The whole universe sees his merits. The animals love him because of that. They know he is great. They know he's great. In fact, we see there are many non-Muslims who love Ahlul Bayt because of their greatness and mercy and compassion. Many non-Muslims love them also. Many non-Muslims love them. This is an initial taste of love. The true taste of love is when you understand and when you submit yourself to their reliance. That is another level of love that is felt by only a few people. If we want to find the real love of Ali, we need to try to find that wilayat and come under that wilayat so we can taste the real love of Ali. The love that the companions of Hussein felt in Karbala. That love of Ali. Then you will see the real love of Ali. Real, that you will really taste it. It's indescribable how sweet it is. We haven't tasted it yet. Really haven't tasted it yet. I'll give you a gift. You know? So that it can be heartwarming for you and that it can make you get closer to Ali. Amir al-Mu'mineen has said that وَمَنْ يَمُتْ يَرَنِي. Whoever dies will see me. Whoever dies will see me. My friends, if you haven't seen Ali, if you have never witnessed his beautiful face, if you have never seen his bright smile, if you have never laid your eyes on his magnificence, then don't worry, don't be sad, don't be grieved. When you will die, you will surely see him. You will see him there. Let me read another hadith so that you can see how you will see him. We see Amir al-Mu'mineen had said, "Man ahabbani wajadani inda mamatihi haythu yuhibb." He said that anyone who dies, he will find me at the time of his death. Anyone who loves me, whoever loves me, if you love me, you will find me when you will die. But how will you find me? The way that you used to love me in your life. If you love me little, then you will see that our meeting will be short. If you love me a lot, then you will see our meeting will be long. How you will find me is how you love me here. If you want, you see, really, when you die, what will happen? When you go into the grave, the angels will come to you. A person who's in the grave is scared. He's afraid. He's frightened.
He doesn't know what has happened. I mean, it is such a new experience for him. He is shivering. Anyone, all of us will be shivering. And we'll see that we will be so nervous. You won't be able to speak. You won't be able to speak. The angels will come. And again, as I said, they will see the light that is coming out of us and will recognize, wait a minute, this is a Shia of Ali. This is a lover of Ali. And the angels will say, don't worry. Do not be afraid. Don't cry. And you'll be like, wondering what's going on here. And then they will pull the curtain and say, look who has come to meet you. Look who has come to meet you. And when you see the face of Ali, that's when a mu'min will start to find relief. He will start to find comfort and he will start to smile. He will start to smile, my friends. This is the effect of Ali. Don't you wish you want to see that moment when you will see Imam Ali and said, Mawla, I have been waiting for you, Mawla. All my life I have been waiting for you, Mawla. Today I am waiting for you that you will come to me and give me relief and comfort in the time when I am nervous and scared. Today, my friends, let us go to the house of Imam Ali. Let us go to Kufa and let us go to the house of Imam Ali. And you know what? When you go and knock on the door of Imam Ali tonight, you will see that two Imams will come to the door to greet you, to take condolences from you. If you want to go to the house of Ali and give condolences, two Imams will come outside. This is strange because in every other Imam's time, only one Imam will come and meet you at the door that used to be his son. And the son would come and meet you. But in Imam Ali's situation, there are two children of Imam Ali, Hassan and Hussein, will come to the door and say, you have come to visit us and to give condolences for us, to give ta'ziyat and tasliyat for us because our father is dying. May Allah bless you. May Allah bless you. May Allah bless you. Let me just say an incident. A small incident that happened so that you can get some idea behind this, my friends. You know, a person's child had died. His young son had died. Recently we witnessed in this community also. One time there was a person whose son had died. And one of our friends said, you know what, let's go there and meet him, see him right now. He said, wait until the khatam, until the majlis is there. We'll all go there together and we'll see him there. He said, no, we need to go right now. He said, it's too early. It just happened. They're crying there. There should be mourning there. He said, no, we need to go right now. And he said, why? Why do you want to hurry? And he said, and obviously this friend of ours was insisting, he also had lost a daughter a few years ago. He had lost his own daughter a few years ago. He said, listen, I went through this. I went through the fact when your child dies, I know how hard it feels. You know, when my child had died, I was looking at the door as to see who would come in. Whenever I used to see someone, it would calm my heart. It would comfort my heart. Now we see that person is in need. Let's go there so at least he can look at us, so that we can feel at peace and comfort, that he can feel at peace by looking at us. Imam Sadiq was asked by people that tell us, if someone dies, how should we do tasliyah? How should we do taziyah to him? How should we give fursa and condolences to him? Imam Sadiq says, and listen to this, he says, kafaka min at-ta'ziyah an yaraka sahibul musibah. He said, it is enough for you to do this, that you show your face to the sahibul musibah, whoever is the charge of that musibah, the son of that person who has died. Just show your face to him and that will give him comfort, that will give him relief. So my friends, let us all go in front of Imam Zaman and say, ya sahibul zaman, today you are sahibul musibah, you are the one whose father has died. We have come to give taziyat to you, we have come to give tasliyat to you. We have come to give tasliyah to you, Sahib al-Zaman. Oh Imam Hassan, oh Imam Hussein, you are Sahib al-Musibah today. We have come to give tasliyah to you. Accept this from us. Let all we ask of you is just look at us. Ya Imam al-Zaman, we came to you to give tasliyah.
for you. My friends, Imam Ali, you want to know Imam Ali? Who is Imam Ali? Let me tell you, my friends, Imam Ali, today is a shahadat. Today is a shahadat. Give your condolences to Imam Ali. Really, give your condolences to Imam Ali. May Allah give you all tawfiq and may Allah increase your ajr in the musibat of Ali Muhammad. My friends, a father came to Imam Ali with his son. A father came to Imam Ali with his son. And the father told Ali. He told Imam Ali that, Mawla, Master, you know, I love you. I have immense love for you. And you know, these feelings I have for you, I don't see them in my child. I don't see that my child loves you that much. Child was grown up kid. He was grown up, he was an adult, he was a teenager. He said, I don't see that love in his heart for you. Ali, do something, say something that his love will increase for you. His love will increase for you. You know what Imam Ali did? Imam Ali looked at him. Imam Ali looked at him with those precious eyes of his. And he looked at him in such a compassionate and loving way that this son just looked at Imam Ali. He didn't know what overtook him. It was as if his whole soul was shaking. How much can someone love someone so much to see him like this? How can someone have so much love for another? What kind of love is in the eyes of Ali? What kind of glance did Ali give? That son was so affected by it that when the father took him back home and it was dinner time and the father was looking for his son and his son was hiding in some place in the house, holding his knees together, crumpled on the ground. His father said, what happened to you, son? What happened to you? His son asked the father, Father, who was that man who looked at me like this? Who was that man who loved me so much? That stare of his was so loving, I cannot forgive him. Father, I can't stand to be away from him. Let me go back to him so I can see him one more. So I can be seen by him one more time. Imam Ali's look has affected him so much that you see that son cannot stand the separation between him and his Mawla, him and Ali. All I ask this son is this, son, you only saw Ali once and Ali only saw you once in such a loving way and you don't want to be separated from him. What kind of a magic does Ali have that he can look at someone and win him over by his love? What kind of magic does he have that one time Ali looked at you and you are affected in such a way? Now can you understand what Zainab is going through tonight? That Ali, who has looked at Zainab all her life in such a loving way, how will Zainab miss the look of Ali? How will she miss the smile of Ali? What will happen to Zainab when Ali goes away? Ajrakumullah, Ajrakumullah. My friends, today is the day when all of Ahlul Bayt, Imam Ali's children are gathered around him. They're all gathered around him. And Imam Ali is making his last wasiyyat, his last will he is making. And he says, Hassan, my son, come to me. Imam Hassan comes close to Imam Ali. And he tells Hussein, Hussein, come to me. He gives the hand of Hussein and the hand of Imam Hassan. And says, from now on, Hassan will be the one in charge. Hassan is going to take things. He will be the wali of everyone. He brought Zainab and gave Zainab's hand to Hassan. And Umme Kulsum's hand to Hassan. He gave the hand of Muhammad al-Hanafi. And everyone, all the children that were there, he gave them in the hand of Hassan and said, make bayat to him. This is your wali now. There was one son who was being left alone. Ali did not give his hand in the hand of Hassan. He did not give his hand in the hand of Hassan. That child of Ali was standing in the hallway outside. That child was crying. Ummul Baneen came to that child and said, Abbas, what is the matter, Abbas? Why are you crying? Abbas said, my father doesn't like me. He said, what makes you say that? He said, because he gave everyone's hand in the hand of
not cry, my Zainab. Do not cry, my Zainab. Zainab said, why, father? Why shouldn't I cry? He said, Zainab, I am going to Rasulullah. So I am happy that I am going there. But Zainab, do you want to know what I see? Zainab, I see Karbala. I see Kufa. I see Sham. And I see that your hands are tied in ropes. And you are being dragged as a prisoner. As Nasir, you are being dragged. Zainab used to think about this every day of her life. And she used to wonder, how can I be tied? My hands are tied in ropes. When I have a brother like Abbas. When I have a brother like Abbas, how can someone tie my rope? But she realized that that reality came into being. But on the day of Ashura, Abbas came to her tent and said, Zainab, my sister, allow me to go to the battlefield. When Abbas wanted to go, then Zainab told this to Abbas, that Abbas, all my life I heard that my hands will be tied in rope. I could not believe it because I have a brother like you. But today, Abbas, when you are going toward the battlefield, now I know that the hands of Zainab will be tied.
يا محمود يا الله بحمد أهلي يا فاطمة سماوات الحسنى يا مصدق يا قديم ولا سامح حسنى والله كده زي التوفيق من لازم تبقى معاك You just don't seem to understand your kindness. Hasten the reappearance of your mom. Make us Accept this ibadah from ours. Increase the love of Ahlul Bayt in our hearts. O Allah, tonight, not only is the Shahadat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, but also Laylatul Qadr. We ask you for the sake of our Mawla and Master, that you fulfill the hajat of all these mu'mini. O Allah, we ask you that all these mu'mini and any problems that are going through for the sake of Ali and for the sake of your beloved Imam that you have sent, for his sake, inshallah, relieve them of their problems. O Allah, the Muslims throughout the world who are having problems and who are in musibat and hardships, whether it's Bahrain or other places where mu'mineen are suffering, Allah, help them and relieve them of their suffering and give them the tawfiq to fight against you. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.